Why it takes oil to beat Apple. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Good morning. The top question about the launch of the biggest company ever on the stock market has one answer now. The Riyadh-based oil company Saudi Aramco has come up with a range for how much it thinks it's worth. The answer is not as low as some predicted, but not as high as the de facto leader of Saudi Arabia wanted to see. Saudi Aramco, once launched, will overtake Apple as the world's highest valued public company. Here's the BBC's Supin Chan.
The oil giant has valued itself at up to $1.7 trillion. While that's below the $2 trillion mark sought by Saudi's crown prince, it still puts the listing in line to become the world's biggest. In order to make the sale as successful as possible, the Saudi authorities are mounting a huge campaign to encourage citizens to invest. In Riyadh, the chief executive of the Al Inma Bank, Abdul Mohsen Al Fares, was upbeat about the sale.
We are very optimistic there will be a lot of participation.
But Bloomberg oil analyst Julian Lee says Saudi Aramco has had to pare back its ambitions.
They were hoping initially that they would attract investment from North America, from Europe, and from big Asian buyers. And that really hasn't happened because I think that the pricing they were looking for just hasn't been attractive to foreign investors.
As the company's big sales pitch roadshow kicks off, the real test of investor appetite for the company will begin. I'm the BBC's Supin Chan for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, Google is launching a new video game system that lives not in a console in your living room, but in remote computers, the cloud, as they say. The game portal is called Stadia. Players will be able to run some of the most popular new games on their TVs, laptops, and phones. It's a launch that has the video game industry watching closely, Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Playing a game that's hosted on a Google server would eliminate the need for a console or a fancy gaming PC. Neil Macker follows the video game industry for Morningstar.
You're basically paying a fee and letting Google sort of manage that part of the back end.
Google's not the only one getting into cloud gaming. Microsoft has been testing this on its Xbox platform. Sony's PlayStation also has a streaming service with a million subscribers. Still, that's not a big number when you consider Sony has sold 100 million of its latest PlayStation consoles.
There hasn't been necessarily a ton of pent-up demand right now for a streaming platform.
Even if gamers aren't clamoring for this type of service yet, Daniel Ives at Wedbush Securities says Google's using this launch to test whether game streaming could become a lucrative business.
They're not diving into the deep end of the pool, but they need to see what demand looks like.
Gamers have to shell out $130 to get in on Stadia's launch. That includes a controller and one game. Other games cost extra. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.2%. Here, the Dow future up 0.3%. S&P future up 0.2%. And first, the Washington Post and the New York Times are reporting that the Trump administration has backed off banning most flavored electronic cigarettes. Reportedly, this after lobbyists from the vaping industry made the case that a ban would hurt Trump politically in battleground states. The administration has not confirmed this publicly. Get your motor running, get out on the highway. Baby boomers had been the born-to-be-wild generation, but are aging out of motorcycling. Now a story from reporter Sue Carpenter on how the motorcycle industry is focusing on younger women.
Sarah Fiore started riding motorcycles 5 years ago.
I, like, zipped around as a passenger for a while, and then I was just like, no, I gotta get up front.
Fiore is 30 and part of the fastest growing group of motorcycle riders in the U.S., millennial women.
It's just like the most freeing, exhilarating, amazing feeling in the world.
Thanks to riders like Fiore, 1 in 5 motorcycle owners in the U.S. is now female, according to the Motorcycle Industry Council. That's double their share a decade ago. The barriers to riding are disappearing. Bikes are smaller, less expensive, less powerful, and easier to handle. And
the internet has played a huge role.
Cinnamon Kearns is with the Motorcycle Industry Council. She says Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Now you can go online and there are women's riders groups. It's just a lot more easy to connect with like-minded people.
A lot of those women's groups have come to the attention of major manufacturers. Babe's Ride Out drew 1,500 riders to Central California last month. It was sponsored for the first time by Harley-Davidson. There's also the Women Riders World Relay, sponsored by Indian Motorcycle. The rise in women riders is coming at a good time for the industry. Annual motorcycle sales peaked at about 1 million in 2006, but they've stalled since the Great Recession at about half that. The industry?
It's in a tough spot.
James Hardiman is managing director at Wedbush Securities. Those aging baby boomers have put it in a tough spot by parking their wheels. For good.
If you just look at the math, it's going to be hard to replace 65-year-old white American males. So the name of the game will be expanding your customer base.
Women, he said, are one way to do it. In Los Angeles, I'm Sue Carpenter for Marketplace.
And to much quieter horsepower, the Ford Motor Company formally debuted a new electric vehicle last night. It's called the Mustang Mach-E. You think Mustang, but it looks like what it is, a five-seat SUV. The plan is for several variants of various ranges and horsepowers, just over 200 miles per charge, up to 300 miles. The head of Ford sees the electrics as arguments for globalization. Here's CEO Jim Hackett in an interview with my colleague, Marketplace host Kai Rizdahl.
There's an obligation, I feel it as, because I ran another company, where you've got to be highly considerate of making sure you're taking care of that workforce in your global footprint decisions. Now, the tipping point here is we can't make everything in America because this new vehicle is going to be sold around the world. So you actually need the benefit of different kinds of suppliers to average your costs down. But your net employment, if it grows, it's good for everybody. And that's what's happening. Our net employment in the United States has grown in the last 5 years.
Kai's interview with the Ford CEO is coming up on Marketplace this evening. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.